Welcome back to the Masters of Recon podcast, your top automotive refinishing podcast with your hosts, Corey Kleinfeldt
and Ryan Brewer. Enjoy the show, everyone.
Welcome back to the Masters of Recon podcast. Today on the podcast, it is Ryan Brewer and myself recapping the year of 2023. We're going to talk about RestoreFX. We're going to talk about the numbers that we grossed, numbers that we netted. We're going to talk about follow-up on Mobile Tech Expo, where RestoreFX has its place inside of the paint correction industry, and some other stuff, and a big announcement. Welcome to the show, Ryan. What's going on, bud?
What's up, boss?
It's early over here.
Yeah,
when I told you I'd do it this early, and then I forgot it was daylight savings time and all that stuff.
I feel like we should get rid of, didn't they have a vote on us getting rid of daylight savings in the U.S. altogether? Because it's a freaking nightmare, dude.
I thought they did, and I don't know if it like passed and got like the House did or the Senate did. I don't know if it got signed and if it's get like when it's supposed to get implemented, but yeah, I just pick one, dude. I don't know why we still do this. It's so dumb. If you have kids, it's a crap show. Even animals too. Now my dog's all confused all of a sudden. You know, it's just like I don't understand it.
It's 9 o'clock and it's still daylight outside.
Yeah, I mean that's cool. That's my favorite part. Yeah. Like, in the summertime in California, like I'm cool with that. But the trade-offs aren't worth it for sure. It's such an obnoxious thing. So obnoxious. And I think the one that we're on now is the one that is not the normal time. So we changed the hour. I think they just need to go back to the other one, leave it, and then just not change it. It's funny because some states don't.
Yeah, right.
Arizona, I think, for sure. Maybe Hawaii, I don't know. But some states don't.
Puerto Rico.
Some states don't change it. It's the weirdest thing, dude. I don't know why we still do it. And everything just automatically updates now. I remember I'm old enough, I had to wake up and do my cell phone, my alarm clock, I think the only thing it does is my oven and microwave. Everything else is like, oh, I guess this is the fucking time. My watch, my car, like,
yeah,
I don't know. Pretty funny.
Yeah.
So you've been busy, huh? Told me you got a little hail last week.
A nice little start to the season, which is pretty good. It's actually a good... It's perfect storm to utilize DenOps because we have in a lot of panels that are going off matrix, which is we're diving into that and trying to figure out how we're gonna utilize them on the whole storm. So that'll be good.
Yeah, for sure. So cool. Let me get into my announcement. So we got an announcement going on. Keith Cosentino and Shane Jacks. You guys are familiar with them. They are the host of the PDR College podcast. They kind of started podcasting in the dent repair industry. Matt and I have seen some success off of them starting that, I think in 2013 or 14, right? Because so many people listen to podcasts now, including us. But they also, you know, Shane and Keith are toolmakers in the industry. They are leaders of the industry. They've been around helping us in so many different ways. And last few years, they've been, I think they've done two or three of them. I'm not 100% sure, but they've done something called the Advanced Skills Seminar. Maybe they've done three already. Can't remember. But the Advanced Skills Seminar is basically like essentially the most advanced PDR training that exists in the industry. Not only is it PDR training, but it's there's business training. Paul Corden will come. Keith Cosentino will talk about pricing. Shane Jacks will talk about some PDR training, building a shop, all those things. So it's not just training. It is the best training, but it's also all the business aspects mixed in with that. So Keith Cosentino opened up a shop out in Sacramento, and he invited the Van Skills out for the West Coast for the first time, but he sold so many, I guess he's selling so many of the, whatever there are tickets, I guess I would say, so many spots that he wanted to move from his shop to a bigger shop. So he reached out to me and asked if he can use my shop because I just moved into the larger space. And so I said, yeah, for sure. And so now we're going to do the Advanced Skills Seminar out in Sacramento at Dent Pro in Sacramento. So for those of you guys that are interested in upping your game, this is by far the absolute best place to do that. The main trainer, I think, or the top trainer or somebody that's going to be there is Bryce Kelly. So everybody knows Bryce Kelly, obviously. Like, I don't, no announcement needed there. You all follow his videos. If you follow, let's just say that if you follow his videos and you watch them, you pick up tricks from just watching his videos. I know. I personally do. I look at it and I'm like, that's a great idea. Let me implement that.
Right.
If he's giving that stuff away in videos for just like whatever, I guarantee the stuff that he has to train in person is, there's 10 times more stuff that we're not aware of, that about how he's kind of achieving these super clean repairs. So he's going to be there. Paul Corden will be there talking about pricing. Keith will be there talking about selling. Shane Jacks will be there training. Marty Runick from Talk NPR. When we did our NorCal Tech meetup back in 22, in the summer of 22, Marty came and taught lateral tension. That was when when Kiko came out with the first lateral tension. I think the first lateral tension system. Maybe I'm wrong. Yeah, but the first one with the it was a half inch threaded. I think it was, no, not even half inch, maybe 3/8 threaded bolt with the little two tabs on the side, the most basic one. And we used that and everyone was like, oh my gosh, this stuff is crazy. Right. And we fixed a pretty nasty dent on a body line at the meetup, but Marty Bruning is going to be there training. And then also a couple people that aren't like fully announced and committed yet, but basically people that Bryce Kelly follows from other countries, not Guidas Arlson, or maybe he is one of them actually. Guidas and then one other guy. Hopefully I'm saying that name right. Probably not, but Guidas and then one other guy from Europe who Bryce Kelly looks up to as far as PDR technicians. They're not for sure coming because logistically it's a lot more difficult to fly across the world for 4 days of training. But basically people that Bryce Kelly thinks are better than him are coming to train too. So for whatever that's worth, that's hard to really wrap around.
I know it's having somebody better than that, but those guys supposedly can't usually buy parts. So some of the repairs you see, you're like, what are you doing? Right.
Yeah. I think a lot of it comes down to, you're doing things that we just would never do because we would replace a part, I think is what it comes down to. And the body shops are like, well, this part doesn't exist, or we can't, you know, in order to get it, it just takes so long that we'll just figure out a way to fix it. I guess that's probably the case. Mm-hmm. Anyway, real quick, I'll come back to that. But anyways, if you guys want to go to the advanced skill seminar, there is a website for it. I'll look it up on my phone real quick. But the dates are June 20th to 23rd. So June 20, 21, 22, 23. It's a Thursday to Sunday. Go check out the website, which I'll put in the show notes. And I'll try to give you guys the website here. I got to look it up. Keith texted me the other day.
He has one on pdrcollege.com.
Yeah, I think that's it.
On seminar. And it's got a...
Oh, there you go. Yeah, pdrcollege.com. Yeah. It's pdrcollege.aweb, so aweb.page, page. That's what the URL looks like here. And I'll link it in the show notes. But 4-day intensive, sharpen your skills and rev up your revenue. I think I got everybody on there. Yeah. So daily lunch, and then there's going to be a one evening dinner together that's all included. As it gets closer, there's hotels to stay at that are nearby our shop that we'll talk about and get all the logistics worked out, you know. It looks like registration opens April 1st. Mm-hmm. So he's had a lot of interest on that. April 1st at 7 a.m. Pacific time, so 10 a.m. for the East Coasters. So there is, I say that he moved into my shop because he wanted more space. There is a limit to the amount of people that can come. Obviously you can't have hundreds of people potentially trying to train all in one space. So there is a limit to it. I don't know that number and I don't want to say a number and be wrong. So I know for sure it's not 100. I don't even think it gets up to like 60 or 70. I think it's somewhere lower than that. So it's a, you know, it's, if you guys have been to Education Day at MTE, it's significantly smaller than even one of those rooms. So it's not one-on-one, but it's
as close as you can get.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And let's be honest. I don't know Bryce Kelly's training one-on-one, but like, you know, Dame Time, Mike Toledo, or Bryce Kelly, or some of the best trainers for the 1 week, you know, 1 week training is like, it's 10 or 15 grand, right? 10 yeah. grand, yeah. 10, 15. I think you got 2 weeks for Bryce Kelly is, I mean, I would not be surprised if it was 20 or 25. That wouldn't shock me at all. I don't know for sure, but, and this is a lot less than that. It's a lot less mm-hmm. than that. You're
getting all this stuff, right? You're gonna talk a little bit about multiple services like the RestoreFX yeah. and
yeah,
cool, yeah,
sweet. Yeah. I'm gonna talk about. I mean, it's gonna be my shop, so I'm gonna talk about, you know, adding services just because none of the other people there are really doing that. Paul Corden does RestoreFX finally, I think, out of one of his shops, but yeah. So I'll be there talking about that too, and so it's gonna be a really really cool event. The stuff that you're gonna learn there, I don't think. There's no other place to learn this. Like there's no other training in the industry that's like this. The only thing you can do is go to a PDR trainer. That's it.
Right.
That's the only option you got. This is the one thing that will give you 4 days of PDR training plus business, plus pricing, plus just up in your business game. Plus there's just a level of confidence and design, like, reignite the fire for building this type of business that you're going to get from this event that you can't get anywhere else. You can't get it from listening to this podcast or even going to MTE or anything like that. This is going to be a special, special thing. So, yeah, April 1st, 7 a.m. I'll link the site, 7 a.m. Pacific. If you want to sign up, you should probably, it's going to sell out. I don't doubt that.
I think it has never not sold out. So.
Right. Correct. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. So, anyways, that's the announcement. Check it out, West Coast, the West Coast meetup, which is cool because PDR is always seems to be so East Coast focused. Majority Ooh. Of the trainers at Mobile Tech Expo is always there. You know, it is what it is. Ooh. West Coast always gets the bad rap.
That's because of y'all's politics.
Okay, East Coast politics are better. Northeast.
Well, now I don't even know what to say about any part of our country. So I guess that was a stupid question or
a stupid comment. Yeah. Who knows, brother? I don't know. Right. We'll see. It's an election year, so we can do a whole podcast on that.
At least it's not New York.
Yeah, New York and California, we're fighting. Although Washington, I don't know, dude.
Yeah,
we're trying to be like little mini California. It seems like. Anyway, so that's the announcement. To come back to Marty Runick training. Lateral tension. He was ahead of the game, and so my point being with that, with Marty Runick and the European guys and all that stuff, lateral tension has been around as a body repair technique for longer than most of us have been alive. That's the funny yeah. thing about it is that it's. I think they call it the Fairlane method. I believe it was called, if I remember correctly. But body guys have been doing. Lateral tension forever. Most of the time it was like welding stuff to the car and pulling on it, so it wasn't paintless. So we've kind of upped the game with glue to make it paintless. And we never crossed our mind until Kiko and all the glue companies and all the people coming out of that stuff. We kind of took the old techniques and the new gluing techniques and kind of put them together. But I think maybe in some of those European countries and other areas, they didn't forget that stuff. Like that stuff got passed down, and here right. it just didn't. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, so I don't know how many guys we have in the PDR industry that were from the body world. Mm-hmm. I can just speak for one that I have that's been working for me for 10 years, and he was a big. You know, he's been doing hard hit collisions most of his life,
yeah.
and then when I started teaching him some of the stuff about lateral tension, and of course he's following. Bryce Kelly and yeah. I'm like he's like telling me man it's crazy that I used to use the same type of technology and techniques just on a more aggressive
yeah.
route and then I never really thought about using it for PDR and now he's utilizing lateral tension on almost every dent that he does yeah, and he's yeah. like speeding up the time and the work comes out cleaner faster so the technology and the training is definitely something you got to keep up with to keep your game going right.
Yeah, and there's going to be guys we talk about advanced skills or training or whatever. There's going to be guys like, I've been doing this for 20 years. What is there to learn? Like, I promise you,
yeah.
there's so much more to learn then you know. I'm just talking to Bryce Kelly at Mobile Tech Expo or other people around, like there's so many techniques that someone just mentions to me and I'm like, holy shit, I never thought about that. And lateral tension being just one of them, but the shrinky boxes that are out now with being able to shrink panels now is so wild, dude. Like I've been doing dents for 23 years. The oil canning was a death sentence, dude. It was like, you hear right. It like, fuck.
And then you worked on that dent for at least a few hours. And then a lot of times.
Yeah. To try to not make it do that. So you're not just like cranking it. You're going slow and steady and then pop and you're like, well, there goes 2 or 3 hours of my life. But now that's not true. Like it's crazy, dude.
Now I try to get it to that stage as fast as possible. Sure. I try to get it to that oil cannon stage because like, motherfucker.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. And like, how do you do all that? What are the appropriate times to use lateral tension? Can lateral tension help you avoid using any sort of shrinky box or box to zap it? If it can't, how do you use it? That's just two of the new tools that we have at our disposal. You know, but. Yeah, it's game changer stuff. So, you know, go if you can.
Right. I recommend it.
Yeah, you're gonna go. I think maybe.
Yeah, we're talking about it.
I'll be there.
It's outside of spawning season for fishing, so I should be pretty good. I'm all right.
All right, there you go.
Yeah.
So let's talk to RestoreFX numbers. We did this back in 2023, early 2023, and talked about 22. So we're gonna do it again, talk about RestoreFX, starting it as a business, as an option, what the numbers look like, is it worth it, etc.
So 2023 was a little bit of a weird year. I was transitioning from having a manager in the shop that I hate not to say talk bad about anybody, but just wasn't as good as the one I have now. So we were kind of in the beginning of the year going through that transition. And then from, I'd say, June of last year, we really started ramping up sales and production and all that stuff. So just for RestoreFX alone, gross sales, we wound up doing $389,000. That's not net, obviously. We have a lot that goes into net profit. And I'd have to run all kind of reports. But It depends. We also changed our pay structure as well starting this year. So when I really look back on how much we were paying for the actual labor to get RestoreFX put on a vehicle has totally changed from last year. So I'm really hoping that this year our numbers are going to look even better than last year. Gross sales should go up dramatically. We're having a new shop being built. So we should be able to produce more vehicles and hopefully the net profit goes out the roof. Not that it's not worth it. I think it's definitely worth it for any other business that's going to add a service on. It's just really tightening up those numbers. And Corey's done pretty well with that as far as growing at a normal pace.
Yeah. Explain how, like, if the people that don't listen to us often that end up listening to this episode, explain how you went into RestoreFX, because you and I came about it in two different directions, probably more based off our personalities.
Yeah, for sure. I dove straight into it and invested a lot of money into RestoreFX, and doing the one car a day was something that I was like, there's no way there's any type of money in that. So I just put all my eggs into the basket of let's ramp this thing up. How many cars can I fit in the shop? I could fit six. So we need to figure out how to get six in the shop, and I need to get the manpower.
And you hired all the people to be able to do that.
We wound up having like eight guys for RestoreFX, from porters to installers to managers, all that stuff. So it was something where I just moved so fast that I really didn't look at the numbers. I was like, the numbers can be figured out later. And I'm kind of let's learn from your mistakes kind of guy. And Corey seems like he's a very methodical, choose the right decision and does a lot of research. So he grew a lot smaller at a slower pace than I did. Yeah. But I think that his numbers are really tight as far as net profit wise goes and knows exactly. But I think on both ends of the spectrum, I learned a lot.
Not one way isn't right over the other one.
It's no, I'm not saying. Yeah, I'm not saying don't do it the way I did it. Because if I didn't do it that way, I wouldn't be able to tell you guys all the problems that I ran into.
Yeah.
So it's like learn. We always say on the podcast, learn from our mistakes and then learn from Corey's successes. Right. That's the best part about this whole relationship between me and Corey. We're two totally different people. And as far as business goes, and there's a ton you can learn from that. Right.
Yeah, and that's not to say I don't make my own fair share of mistakes.
No, don't think that you're going to listen to this stuff or you're not going to make mistakes. You're going to make them. It's just
Ryan's got successes too. So I listen to the gross numbers of Restore FX, and I'm like, damn, I'm going slow. You know, so it's like there's pros and cons, man.
Yeah, sure.
My situation was a little different. So like I looked at my shop and I could fit two cars in it at the time, maybe three cars. And Restore Effect was a way for me to, you know, justify keeping the shop and help grow into a larger shop. Because I feel like in a non-hail area, having a shop that can fit 6 to 8 cars with just paintless dent repair is, in my opinion, very difficult to do. Not impossible, 100%. I know Doug Hillius up in Washington crushes it. He's got 3 or 4 techs up there busy all the time. And there's other people that do it. And so it's not impossible, but it just felt more difficult. And so now the way my shop looks is we offer painless dent repair, but we also offer all the different, I don't want to say detailing, all the different ranges of options for, I guess, detailing your car. We're not detailing as far as washing and vacuuming. So I don't
know. Exterior experience.
That's it. I'm a paintless exterior repair. That's pretty much where I'm at, whether it's dent repair or clear coat repair or anything like that. So now we offer dent repair, scratch repair, Restore FX, paint touch up, windshield chip repair, ceramic coatings. So those are the offers that we have now. And now that we're in a larger shop, all of that has come. The amount of times that we do multiple services on a car, even if it's just, you know, dent repair and touch up, or dent repair and a scratch repair, or in a windshield chip or whatever it is. It's damn near every car. It is every car. If now that I'm in the position that I'm basically our manager, essentially. I still do a lot of dent repair, but I'm the manager and I'm selling the cars and I'm good at doing that, then it's basically every car that we're doing multiple services. Essentially every car. Because I'm walking everyone, I'm looking at how we can help the customer, and they're like, I didn't know you do that. And I'm like, I know, that's what I'm telling you. Essentially, you know. So anyways, being able to offer all that stuff is fantastic. You can do that as a PDR tech. I did buff some scratches for people before as a PDR tech, but there's so much money in fixing dents that you're never trying to also buff cars and fix a windshield chip and do touch up. It just doesn't make sense. You know, if you can just pack dent repairs in tighter, you just be like, oh yeah, go down the street and get some of the detail guy to buff it out, you know? So having that as an option to do all that has been probably the biggest, the most important thing for growing my company is that we don't just do dents and then buff a spot this big, you know what I mean? Like right on the dent. So that's been huge. My slow and steady growth was basically I hired one employee. He's a family member. He's my wife's brother. And so when he came on, he was committed to staying with me, to growing with me, to potentially owning, not potentially, but at some point owning a portion of the Restore FX out of the business. So that has always been the path for him. And every year we grow a little bit more. This year we're on track to grow more, and he's getting closer to that, you know, to that position. But so when he first started, he came in essentially, he was doing some other stuff too. So he's kind of part-time. It was like, we started out, I didn't have a car every single day necessarily right off the bat, which is pretty normal, obviously. And so he was kind of like part-time in and out. So first year of doing Restore FX, we made $67,000 gross. I paid him about $32,000 because he also was doing, he had another kind of more of like a gig type thing he was doing. And then I would say materials was about 7,500 or 8,000. So I made, not counting fixed ops, not counting like RestoreFX takes part of my shop. They use energy. I didn't break down all that for you guys. I have that stuff, but it's not for the podcast. I probably made $27,000 gross profit first year, which is pretty good considering RestoreFX cost me 20 grand to sign up for. I'm like, eh.
But how much time did that take out of your day to gross or in net that amount of money? Did it take a ton of your time?
No, because I should I have spent more time looking back on RestoreFX? Yes, but the problem becomes I'm making so much fixing dents. I wasn't also out there selling RestoreFX. At the time, yeah. I was doing way more dealer work. So when I was there doing dealer work, I'm like, hey, we should do this car, essentially. And they're like, okay. And I mean, that's pretty much how it went. It was very, very simple. Very simple.
I know there's a lot of guys out there that wonder how much time is it going to take, especially if you're a dent guy looking into getting RestoreFX added to your shop. It's like, how much time is this going to take? And that's what you have to look at. It's like the number might seem small for him right now, even though it was in the beginning, but it barely took up any of his time. So just think if he turns into adding a little bit more time and doing things more methodically, it's like.
Well, so 2020, the change in 2023 was my employee stopped doing his other stuff. And I said, okay, you're coming off full time. So now he's basically doing, he's RestoreFX essentially by himself. In 2022, I touched cars. I moved cars back and forth. I did stuff with RestoreFX. It did spend some time. Like I'll kick you over there. You drive the car back. There was a lot of that. 2023, we grew a little bit more, but we were still limited by our shop space. And so we did in 2023, we did $102,000 in RestoreFX. So from 67. Yeah. So 60 with one guy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's pretty good. So 67 to 102. I brought him on more of on a full-time capacity, and not more full-time, he is full-time. Salaried employee plus bonuses. He went from making 32,000 to 55,000 in 2023. But he then took over walking lots, moving cars. I bought a runner car for $4,000. So I took away me taking him there. He took the car. He drove to the dealership, brought the RestoreFX car back to our shop, did the work. The next morning, he took the RestoreFX car back, picked up the car.
Perfect. Yeah.
And so we went to 102,000, cost me 55,000. My materials that year were about $11,000 for the year, 750, 800 bucks a month. We bought basically one set of RestoreFX that did 10-ish cars. That's about 500, and then sandpaper, car prep, stuff like that. We don't need to get into all that. So net that year, again, not counting the fact that RestoreFX takes shop space and they should pay for a portion of that. Yeah, right. $50,000. So pretty good. I was already renting the shop and doing dents out of it. So if you say, RestoreFX is an additional thing, right? So anyways, those are kind of where my numbers were at. I got, I'm 2024. I'm on pace as far as January and February. I'm on pace to do about $140,000. So from 102, but so that's basically doing about $12,000-$13,000 a month. This month, it looks like we're probably going to do like 16 or 17. So for whatever that's worth. Now I'm hiring a second guy. I'm actively looking for that second person. So now we can up from 1 to 2 cars a day to 2 to 4 cars a day. And just kind of slowly growing it from there. I have some dealers that really love it. I have base people. My RestoreFX guy is very good now. We've seen all the problems, which we'll talk about in a minute. We've seen the problems. He's done a lot of, I don't know how many cars he's done, but he's done in the 300-400 range probably of cars. And so yeah, we're growing. And now this year I'll probably make about $65,000, which is a pretty good job, I would say.
Yeah.
Especially for it. It's flexible for him as needed. I don't have to change when I hire a second person, but anyway, so those are kind of where our numbers are at. I think startup for RestoreFX is like $25,000 now, something like that, right?
So that's just that's the buy-in, right? That's to buy the license and
yeah. I mean, you got to redo your shop and make it look legit and all that stuff. I mean, you do and you don't. I mean, you can run a successful PR business with a warehouse with cement floors and stud walls and your own PDR lights. You can do it. It's not like you can't. The visual aspect of making your shop look nice helps a ton. So I'd recommend spending the money on that. Right. My shop now, your shop, like I'd recommend getting it set up properly before doing RestoreFX with lighting, cleanliness. You know, we've talked about that in previous episodes, but anyway, so the startup is $25K, I believe, and then you probably should spend another $30,000 or $40,000 on your shop, something like that. I don't know.
So there was something I wanted to ask you, because I'm sure every single person out there that owns RestoreFX, I'm sure a large majority, or even people who don't have a RestoreFX, there was a service that you left out that I think that we're going to start diving into, and I think you're going to do it in 2024, right, is Marine.
Yes.
RestoreFX is a Marine type liquid paint correction, if that's what you want to call it, on gel coat. And gel coat, I think, like, for us, I'm in a really big boat area. I'm on the coast, right? So I think we're going to try to dive into that this year with the new shop and see where that goes. So I think we're going to have to keep up on that. But have you done one yet? I know you did the training and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, we did a demo, basically. Which is interesting because I put out one Facebook post on my personal Facebook page, which is where I do a lot of my, you know, business stuff, just because it's easier. And I got like four people that wanted me to do their boat. I was like, one person reached out to me immediately. It was like my wife's cousin's husband, who we see, you know, he lives an hour away from us. We see him every once in a while, but he had an old boat, like an 80s oxidized boat. It was like a perfect, candidate. He sent me pictures. Yeah. I was like, fuck yeah, dude, we're absolutely doing that. So the first one's always hard. I said, basically the training was like, you get free work. We've done hundreds and hundreds of cars. Like, I guarantee I'm not going to mess up the boat. I'm not going to make it worse. Maybe it'll be temporary. Maybe it won't look as good as you want, whatever. But you get free work. I get a demo. You have to leave it with me for two weeks. Cause I'm just going to do it in between stuff. Basically, like, we had only one RestoreFX car that day that took half a day. And so then you jump on that for, you know, half a day, and it's kind of a demo run. So we're talking with RestoreFX corporate about each step of the process. We're taking before and after photos and videos just to make sure everything is going correctly. Cause gel coat is more like a single stage paint versus a paint clear situation, you know?
It's very forgiving though. So it's super thick. It's very like thick. You can sand this shit with 80 grit sandpaper, you know?
Yeah. Never burn through. Yeah, we got like different foam discs for it. We got pretty aggressive. But yeah, we did that one and it came out so fucking good, dude.
Really?
Like, yeah. It was so clean. Yeah, the guy when he sent his picture of it, it was like oxidized and he basically took a sponge and put like a wet streak across it to show us a video to show us how oxidized it was. Obviously once the water evaporated in 10 seconds, it went back. But you can see that one spot was like nice and shiny for right when you took the picture, and the entire boat. I don't even think I've shared the videos yet because I've just been busy and I haven't fully committed to doing all that stuff, but it's very, very impressive. Very impressive. So yeah, that's like kind of a, if you're a RestoreFX center, you can't just buy a RestoreFX Marine. You have to like sign up for it. And I think they want you to, they're cautious of people just all of a sudden switching from cars to boats. They want you to be, they don't want you to be like, oh, I'm not busy enough with cars, so I'm gonna do boats instead, you know. Right. Like, get the car busy. The cars is where it's at. The cars is where it's always going to be. Get good at that, make sure you're busy with that, and if you want to add some boats in, fine. But man, like, there's a market for it because like there is no option. Like, you can have a paint corrector come out and shine up your boat, but it will last one season, and they're
right,
all
so
straight up about that.
The scientific side about gel coat on, if you buff it and you make it look good, gel coat's a very porous substrate. So if even ceramic does, it's never going to close those pores up. So Restore Effects potentially closes all the pores up and almost makes it like an automotive vehicle where it's not as porous. So it takes a lot longer for it to oxidize. So the Restore Effects Marine is supposed to last. I mean, when I talked to Alex years ago, he told me they did like a 72-foot yacht and they keep up with the guy once a month. And he said it's been years now, and every month they get a great rapport from the guy. So if you have the market for it, I'd definitely look into it for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Like we're gonna do more of it. We're out in California. We have a huge lake, multiple lakes around us. Boating community is a big deal. But before it was, paint corrector could basically shine it up for a year, essentially, maybe two, if you could rush it, I don't know.
It's two, 3 weeks on it.
And yeah, probably a long period of time. If it's an 18, 20-foot boat, I mean, they can do it in a week, probably. But
yeah.
For the numbers that I calculated were basically buff and polish it for like $1,500 to $2,000, which is like a temporary, like a one-year fix, essentially. Yeah. And then the other option is repaint your boat, I guess, which is like not a fucking thing. I don't know anybody who's ever repainted their boat. Like, I know everybody knows a dude that will like repaint the side of your car or Mako or some shit for like $1,000. Like, that doesn't exist for boats. Like, that's not a thing. Like, you gotta take the boat off the trailer, put it on a hoist. I don't even know how you would do it, dude. That sounds terrible.
It's not easy.
I can imagine it not being easy at all. $20,000 for a 20-foot boat? I don't know. A lot of dollars. So no one does it. Like, you just leave it.
Yeah.
You're like, half of it's in the water. You can't see it anyways, right? So anyways, like, $1,500 buff for 1 year. A paint job that no one ever does for boats. Like, we're the one option, the single option that can fill that gap. How much can you charge for it? Well, between $1,500 and $20,000.
So we probably have to do a whole podcast on this as we get into later in the year where we start doing some more boats to where we can get into pricing and time frame. That'd be cool.
Yeah. So I think for me, I'm going to go to the boat dealers first. It makes sense to me to say, you know, a lot of them consign boats. And so maybe try to go through them, and then I'll tell you.
I'm really lucky. I have a guy down the street from me that does a lot of repairs on boats, like the trolling motors, their electronics, and he installs new stuff. Yeah. I can go look in his yard right now, and it's literally packed full of boats, and it's every single one of them in there is oxidized.
And they're already paying somebody to fix up their boat, which means they want to spend money on their boat.
Right. So I would go after those guys find them. It's usually I could walk you through some of that stuff trying to find them.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, we'll talk more about that. Yeah, but I mean, the wholesale route, you know, it's a lot of times is more shooting fish in a barrel, because retail, you run ads, you do whatever you need to do to get customers in. It's higher priced. It's harder to find that one customer versus going to a boat dealership, a boat mechanic. They have the customers there. So yeah, just like going to a dealership to get cars. I mean, that's where I'm going to start. It makes the most logical sense. There'll have to be some meat on the bone for that person probably to make it worthwhile, but that's okay. Especially when you're starting, you know, right, there's a lot of, there's a lot of profit in it. Like, we did the one boat, and I'm like, okay, now I figured out my pricing structure, because it is more work. The reason being is that with a car, there's panels, like stopping points. Some of the hardest panels on cars are like the quarter panels that turn into rails, because they are stopping points. It's a little more difficult. Or if you've done an older one, like a 60 or 70, where the rail is the roof is the core panel, those are harder, because there's no, you can't leave wet lines, you know.
You have to have two installers installing marine.
No. My idea by himself. I was at Mobile Tech Expo when he applied to it, actually.
That's so wild.
Yeah, so he did it 100% by himself. You think you'd go from like back to front, like long wise? Because you talked about that. You have one person starting, and then you have the next person following behind. But he used the linear method, so he went up and down.
Gotcha.
And so he just, you know, that way he never had a wedge, or he had a wet edge, but he never let it dry, basically. Yeah.
Yeah.
So pretty cool. And also, like, there is an industrial version. I've talked to you about the fire engine. The last time they had to paint the roof on the fire engine, and they went to go send it to paint, and the transmission was bad. So they've been working on the transmission. So I still haven't done it. I saw it the other day. I was over there fixing a dent for one of the cop cars, and it's still over there. It's waiting for us. But that one I'm very excited about. But you'll see videos on that one too. It'll be super cool. But yeah, so the Restore FX, they're not done innovating. They have there's so many more things to do. I know we've talked about them trying. They're trying to find solutions, work on solutions to, you know, make it so that we can fix the cars that have clear code that's burned off too.
Yeah.
I don't know how or if or when or even if we should be talking about it, but that is a goal of theirs, you know, to make that happen. So that would be a game changer.
Game changer.
Yeah. So yeah, they're still innovating, they're still going. I'm excited about the future of Restore FX for sure. Anyway, so yeah, hopefully this year if I hire another person, get the shop busier, we can break the $150,000-$160,000 mark for Restore FX, try to get to 380 like you.
For sure our profit's probably the same though.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. I'm just tight on the numbers, you know.
Yeah.
And when I hire people, like I expect a lot of efficiency out of one person.
But there's one thing I can say for me, I don't do absolutely anything but work on the back end of Restore FX, like trying to create systems and quality control lists and all this stuff. I literally do nothing with the day-to-day operation of Restore FX. My manager does all that. So for me, I feel like it's worth it. To run the way I'm running. It's just I do want to tighten up all the numbers and make sure everything's, you know, good at the end of the day. So
yeah, and I don't do anything anymore with Restore FX except for backend. There's two, my manager slash installer is doing too much. That's why I'm hiring someone else, because he needs to be he's going to be the lead installer still, but he needs someone to help him, whether it's drop off pickup cars, sometimes just doing something by yourself day in day out can be a little daunting, which slows you down. You know, if we have a list of two retail customers plus a couple ceramic coatings we've done, and then there's seven cars in a dealership that need to get done, like it can be a little bit overwhelming. I understand that, especially if you're not a business owner and you're an employee.
Right.
You know, you're not like busting your ass day in day out. So yeah, we're hired another person, but yeah, I mean, if you're gonna add Restore FX to the service, like don't try to install it. Like just don't. Like, I don't know how else to say it. Just don't.
If you're not in the automotive industry, or you're just like a detailer trying to get out of detailing and you want to do this by yourself, we have guys that are doing that. We have guys that are doing it.
Sorry, I was thinking if you're a PDR guy adding the service, don't do it yourself. Sorry. It should have clicked. But yeah, if you are a detailer, yeah, for sure. That's a different story. And let's talk about, because on our last episode, we had a detailer come on the podcast. The audio was a little tough. I went back and listened to it. So it wasn't the best audio. It was Radio Row at MTE's, not perfect setup, but we did our best. But
this guy is supposed to be one of the best paint correctors in the world or something, right? He's supposed to be phenomenal. So
yeah, he's like
inside.
He's famous, I think, like as far as, you know, Shane Jack or Bryce Kelly or somebody being famous in PDR. I think pretty sure he was famous in detailing or whatever that's worth with the 10,000 people that are at MTE. But he actually called it liquid paint correction, which was interesting to both of us. We were like, okay, that's a new, I had not heard that before. And so I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Which is a good way to put it, especially paint correction is it's a good way to talk about it because people know what it is.
Right. I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah. Restore effects. Yeah, we try not to call it paint correction because paint correction, you're taking clear coat off to make it shiny again. And that's not what we do, but it's also what everybody knows. So right. Calling it liquid paint correction is just a way to say, oh, it is paint correction, but oh, what does liquid mean? You know? So like kind of, we both liked it. We saw it like in real time. We're like, oh shit, that's actually really good. I remember. Yeah. So, he was very, it was not, he was very open to having it be an option in the toolkit, I thought.
Which yeah, he was, even though he had a pretty bad experience with liquid paint correction.
He did. Yeah. So yeah, without bashing people or whatever, there are other liquid paint correction companies, I guess we could say. With Restore FX, they're the most professional, they're the most polished, they're the most refined company. The prep work is very, very important on Restore and on doing liquid paint correction. Other companies sell liquid paint correction that don't push prep work. They say, like, throw it on and it'll be fine. Which, you know, there's a difference between, like, if in the painting world, Mako is going to do very minimal prep work, right? And the paint job you get from Mako versus a high-end body shop. It's
right.
That's the difference. And that there's a difference in the liquid paint correction world too. So I think that the bad experience he had was not from Restore FX. It was from another company that did basically a wipe on clear with zero prep work. So
and they also didn't know. He didn't know it was on there. Me and Corey were kind of talking about that before this. Mm-hmm. It's like, I think we have this monster in our industry right now, which is liquid paint correction. Not in a bad way. It's definitely a good problem to have, but you look at the amount of cars around the world that are being restored or having some type of liquid paint correction put on there, and there's no database or there's nothing out there for the paint correction guys to know what's on this vehicle and how to deal with it. Because honestly, it's kind of weird to say this, but once you get your car done with liquid paint correction, there is almost no going back to having your car paint corrected anymore. For us,
you can buff and polish it lightly.
It would take you forever. Like it takes days just to get the restore effects or whatever you have on it off. But for us, like as business, we try not to be big headed or anything, but it's kind of like I think it's great for business because once you're a customer to us, you should be a customer for life. And I hope that the customer experience was always the best. Mm-hmm. But you will have customers that will see somebody else's marketing being better than yours, and they might go to them for a paint correction, and we need to figure out a way for those guys to know what's on the car before they start, you know, buffing and polishing and ripping the clear coat off, because it is a little bit of an issue, but we're trying to. So if anybody has any type of, if you own a Restore FX and you listen to this, what are you guys doing on your end? We've talked to some people at MTE. I forgot one of the guys' names, but he had a really good deal where he put a QR code with a little tiny Restore FX under it,
and I think it went
to his website with a video that kind of explained what's on the vehicle, which is I think great. The ceramic coating companies aren't even doing that to a certain extent, that they're putting little stickers in the door to say, hey, this stuff has it, but there's nothing for the customer out there that's like, this is how to maintain the vehicle with what you have on it. And I think we need to start looking into some stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, that's an interesting place to be in with paint corrector, because now you're dealing with like hundreds of different types of ceramic coating, from like legit 10H hardness, cured overnight, like will fuck with you if you're not aware of it. Ceramic
coating. Especially in a body shop industry.
Yeah. Yeah. And to people spraying on ceramic coatings that may not do much, to people spraying on all kinds of silicone stuff in the paint that you have to fix, to people putting Restore FX on, like there's a lot of different things now that could be on the vehicle. And so, yeah, they gotta be aware. I know paint meters can potentially help, but Restore FX is undetectable, so it's gonna be hard. I know you could like And I mean, they've always dealt with, like, has this car been paint corrected before? Because that's been an issue for them forever. Like, did someone already do a two-stage? Because if they did, like, I have not much to work with, right? So it's a tough spot to be in.
And it's on both ends of the spectrum. It's for us too, as far as if we're going to restore effects of a vehicle, we're going to do some type of liquid paint correction on it. We need to know if it has ceramic, because dude, we're eating through paper, to try to get that stuff off. And it's just, that was his biggest thing that he was talking about, was we need to come together as both industries, and because we're not going anywhere. Paint correction is not going to go anywhere. We're not going to replace it.
No, absolutely.
But we need to come together as an industry to find out what's the solution for this little issue we have.
For sure. Totally. Yep. So we'll see as it goes, as things continue to change every year. But that's what I got.
Yeah, I think it was good.
Yeah. So go to the advanced skill seminar, April 1st, is when it opens. I don't think we'll release another podcast from now until then. So go check it out. I'll link the website in the show notes. You want to talk to StoreFX, reach out to us. Ryan and I have always been pretty open to talk about it and tell you if it's worth it. What else you got? That's it.
I think that's good.
Good stuff, man. All right.
All right, we'll see you next time, guys.
Later.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Masters of Recon podcast. If you're getting value from this podcast, then please subscribe to the show and give us a review so others can find our show as well. And if you haven't joined the discussion yet, then go find us over at Masters of Recon Facebook group to join the weekly discussion. See y'all next time.